Hello, good morning, and welcome. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of March, 2021, and we're back with episode 182, brought to you in part by The Information. More about this fantastic tech news journal and how I'm going to hook you up with 75% off your first month in a little bit. Before getting started, just a friendly reminder, please be sure to drop me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you're a fan, and be sure to check us out at HoganCo.com for all your needs in the mobility space, including startup investor relations, talent sourcing and placement, business analysis and research, and of course, PR and thought leadership. That's HoganCo.com. Today, NHTSA gets autonomous, GM builds a track, and Baidu launches some things. All this right now. All right, so somewhere between the Capitol insurrection and the presidential inauguration back in January, NHTSA finally got around to releasing their final set of regulatory updates on autonomous vehicles. This, of course, sort of guiding and indeed governing the regulatory framework for the testing and deployment of AVs on American roads. Yeah, the timing of this is somewhat coincidental. I mean, obviously, we just talked in the previous episode last week about how Germany is on the cusp of releasing their set of regulatory framework to enable level 4 vehicles on public roads. And now here we are in the States, having more or less accomplished just that. The intent of the regulation is to essentially fast track, to kind of make more streamline the ability to get AVs on the roads today. You know, there's a very solid recognition of the immediate risk and the danger to the public by delaying an AV future. I say this today, of course, right as the horrific traffic accident was announced down in Southern California, I believe on the 8 freeway, something like 27 people died. You know, as I've said forever, that if it were any other pursuit in life, human-driven vehicles would have been outlawed long ago if the technology allowed for it. It is truly a barbarically dangerous thing that we allow. But look, obviously we've been technology-limited until now, and indeed we are still more or less technology-limited, but we are making tremendous progress, so it's really great to see these regulatory updates. And so, look, I can't really do a deep dive. Hell, I can't even do a broad overview, because frankly, every time I try to link to the actual document on NHTSA's website, I keep getting a 404 error. So I'm just kind of pulling from various summaries of bits and pieces here and there that I've found. We can kind of dive into this more a bit later. But what I find really interesting is a lot of the changes, a lot of the updates seem to be, at least what little I can find so far, tends to really focus on rather more definitional type stuff and less, shall we say, technological. As an aside, this is actually good, and I'll explain why in a moment. I've often said that, at least for now, to presume that we can set technological requirements in this early day would be foolish, right? It would be sort of like, as I've always said, Airbus back in the day, they released their first Airbus A300 with fly-by-wire technology for the consumer market for the first time ever, having derived it from military aircraft, and nobody knew if it would perform as well or as safely, as rigorously, as reliably as Boeing's trusty mechanical systems. So look, it was never limited. Simply, it was stated, let's just see if it performs as well, right? And so that's kind of the same thing here. So I think it's really, really good that what little I'm seeing so far doesn't touch on these technological limitations. Otherwise, you end up with this really weird thing where you get effectively locked into this absurd, anachronistic trap, right? So just to give you an example, headlights, right? So here in the U.S., due to some remarkably archaic language, we cannot get Audi's extraordinarily fantastic matrix headlights, which use a sort of, shall we say, a sort of micro shutter technology in conjunction with cameras, which can effectively see oncoming traffic and then at the almost a pixel level, if you will, can sort of block out or occlude the light from your own car into a perfect organically updating shape, sort of a real-time mask, if you will, to ensure that you get maximum illumination everywhere not occupied by an oncoming car, or indeed a car in front of you. So it's a really just a fantastic thing. Well, that's not allowed on American roads because something to do with, I don't know, I think it has to do with the fact that we can't have lights that are anything other than steady state, and technically these are not steady state, I suppose, although even that is an incorrect definition when you think about it. The light is in fact steady state, they are just being physically occluded, if I'm not mistaken. Similarly, the rear tail signals, again by Audi, they seem to have this funny obsession with lighting. But the rear tail lights of Audis in other markets, they can sequentially flash. Here in the US, you'll notice it's sort of a hybrid of sequential flashing combined with a steady state illumination. What else? In many other markets, emergency flashing taillights, right? If you slam on the brakes hard enough, you get these pulsating taillights. If that sounds at all familiar, that's because you may have been trained here in the US as well, as I have been, to flash your emergency lights manually if indeed you have to slam on the brakes in an emergency stop. It's a bit tricky. You've got to kind of program it into your muscle memory to make sure you do it, but it's a really good idea. So it's just bizarre that we can't get those systems here. Anyway, so those are just sort of some analogies for what I mean when I say that it's good not to get sort of prematurely locked into a set of technological constraints, as it were. And so, yeah, so a lot of these updates seem to be largely definitional. And I mean that in terms of everything from what is a driver? How is it defined? What's a passenger? How is that defined? What is a steering wheel? Or frankly, as you'll see in a moment, what isn't a steering wheel? Or I should say, what is not a steering wheel? Because you'll see it's actually really quite all-inclusive now. So let's kind of run through these in no particular order. I mean, let's actually pick on the steering wheel first, okay? I rather like this one. Tesla obviously just announced their update to the Tesla Model S, which has, shall we say, a rather different sort of a wheel. It is not a wheel. In fact, it's essentially a control yoke, like something you might find in an airplane. No, it's not a squircle, the sort of rounded square that you might find in, I guess, Corvettes, maybe some Lamborghinis. You know what I mean, though, right? Those steering wheels which have a flat bottom, and in some cases a flat and a top. A flat bottom and a flat top, right? These are the so-called squircles. Actually, it's just a fun word to say over and over again. This is not that. This is essentially a control yoke like something you find in an airplane. It really does look like that. And so, of course, there's this huge outcry. Oh, obviously, NHTSA is not going to allow this, and it'll just never make it to production vehicles. But it turns out that shouldn't be an issue anymore because, yeah, the new regulations effectively allow, or at least implicitly, or at least they don't disallow such steering wheels. In fact, now going forward, what it is, yeah, they've got to have some sort of a control mechanism in the form of, well, something to steer the car and pedals, but it doesn't need to be a steering wheel. The rules now require merely, quote unquote, steering control. Now, there can't be anything remote, so these can't be, say, an iPhone or an iPad. Although I'm very curious to see what they end up saying on teleoperations. More on this as soon as I get it. They even address the notion that these controls can be stowed when not in use, including even the driver's seat. But let's talk about what driver's seat really means because, well, it's no longer called the driver's seat or even the front passenger seat. Instead, to recognize that both the former driver's seat, as opposed to the former front passenger seat, which by definition could only be a singular entity, right? You can only have one front passenger. Well, now that's not the case. Now this is simply going to be called the front row of seats without any mention as to which is for the passenger or the driver, right? Because now you can have a person in the traditional driver's seat, which is in fact decidedly not a driver. Hence, you can have a front passenger seat on either the left side or the right side. Instead, though, the terminology they're going with is something called the designated driver's seat, meaning this is the seat where if there were a driver, well, this is where they would be. And that makes sense, right? Because we're not going to let drivers suddenly just appear on the right side of the car Although, I suppose if you import a vehicle from, say, the UK or Australia, well then, okay, never mind. That's besides the point. But yeah, there will be a designated driver's seat if and when the driver drives, whether permissively or by, shall we say, technological mandate, right? So maybe the car requires the driver to take over. So look, I'm not gonna spend too much more time on this because again, I can't really go any deeper than what I've done. And you can tell I'm sort of grasping for ways to elaborate on this because I haven't seen the whole thing. Again, the website still just keeps 404ing on me. So I'm gonna have to come back to this later. But I just think it's a really nice start of a demonstration as to how NHTSA is really doing everything it can to properly open up. I have to say I'm quite pleasantly surprised. And by the way, one other thing that's worthy of mention. So they have a thing called the AV test program. It stands for Transparency and Engagement for Safe Testing. Actually, it's not program, it's initiative. Sorry, the AV test initiative. So this is actually super cool. You can check it out over at NHTSA.dot.gov. And what's so cool about it is it basically shows in real time an interactive map of all the sorts of testing and incidents that have occurred around the US. And now it's open to everybody. Now, unfortunately, it's still permissive. And there are, I guess, not too many companies which are necessarily submitting their data yet. Some of the newest participants currently in there are Embark and Kodiak and TuSimple. These, of course, are trucking companies in the with AV ambitions. So, but look, this is a really big step towards further, I guess, transparency in terms of what's going on. I don't expect the typical consumer to go spend hours poring over this data, but it's really nice to see it. Frankly, it's pretty well designed. And also one really cool thing, if you click over into the state info tab, you can then learn more about each state's regulations or lack thereof with respect to AV. So look, it's actually a really cool thing. Just Google NHTSA Automated Vehicle Safety or AV Test Initiative Tracking Tool, basically AV Test Initiative. You should find it. It's really quite cool. Okay, so a few months ago, one of my best friends, a tech founder in Silicon Valley, he introduced me to The Information, easily the highest quality tech and business news source that I've ever come across. So what makes The Information so great is the articles are incredibly concise without any sort of fluff or spin or intent. It's basically just super deep dive investigative journalism at its finest, covering the leading tech and global business news for founders, executives, and business leaders across all industries. It kind of makes all the other tech blogs out there just look like little more than clickbaity tech news tabloids. And what's super cool, they also do these exclusive events with tech luminaries like Sheryl Sandberg, Eric Schmidt. And speaking of events, they just did an AV vehicle summit. They've also got a Women in Tech summit, and they've got a subscriber community of high-powered execs and thought leaders around the world that you can loop into. All right, so as you can tell, I'm a pretty huge fan of The Information, and right now I'm going to hook you up with 75% off your first month. All you have to do is go to theinformation.com/hogue to get 75% off your first month. That's theinformation.com/HOAG. All right, so this is going to be a pretty brief segment because A, I want to leave more time for the third and final segment, and B, there's frankly not much to say on this other than kind of a shout out to GM for, well, officially opening up a new test track specifically for autonomous vehicles in Ontario. So I'm a little bit let down because there doesn't seem to be much more to the track other than the fact that it's just a, well, a donut-shaped thing with four lanes. And let's face it, pretty much the only donut-shaped thing worth looking at is, well, a donut, obviously. But here we are with a donut-shaped track, four lanes, and yet please no jokes about, and this is directed to all my beloved listeners outside the US, please no jokes about how American racetracks can only turn left. We have some brilliant road courses throughout the country, some of which I have driven on here in California over the years. Thunder Hill Raceway comes to mind, Laguna Seca, Button Willow. Anyway, this though is just, it's a round track. The idea is to test vehicles up to about 60 miles an hour, 100 kilometers an hour. It is in Canada after all, so they only operate in kilometers. And the idea is to basically get these things familiar with, shall we say, freeway-ish, slow freeway-ish driving speeds. I was really hoping for something rather more robust. I was hoping for something a bit more, say, urban-centric, something that doesn't just turn left, or I suppose right if you do it in reverse. So I'm not, unless and until I can learn more about this particular track and sort of what specifically it's being used for, I can't really give it too much praise yet. But I will digress a little bit and give GM a tremendous heaping of praise, quite a bit more actually than I've done for the last few years, really. You know, I've been a fan of GM ever since they got involved with Cruise and their initial $2 billion investment. Now I think it's up to $4 billion, if I'm not mistaken. GM are really, I've said for a long time, I really think they're going in the right direction, both with respect to AVs and EVs. They just announced their new enfatened version of their fantastic little Chevy Bolt. I think they're calling it an EUV for, I guess, electric utility vehicle, which, by the way, curiously, even though it's bigger in all dimensions than the outgoing Bolt hatchback, it apparently actually has slightly less interior volume, although it does have decidedly more rear legroom, so that's good. In any event, I think everything GM are doing is great. They've got their Super Cruise technology, which has pre-rendered mapping for to enable essentially level 3 driving on freeways with a really robust driver monitoring system. Pro tip, Tesla, maybe actually consider doing such a thing. And of course, they've got their upcoming Hyper Cruise technology, which should be decidedly more in the realm of, say, getting to level 4, potentially. But more on this when we get it. Suffice to say, GM are really headed in the right direction. They've also announced they're going to be electric only, I believe, from 2030, or perhaps 2035. Which, by the way, funny coincidence, because Volvo just announced that by 2030, they too will be all electric, as have Jaguar and Range Rover made a similar announcement. I mean, really, folks, this is getting real. EV is here. I mean, think about this. By the 2030s, EV will be the transportation propulsion of choice. This is just how it is. This is a foregone conclusion at this point. Nothing can stop it now. And it's super exciting. I mean, just to think that in between 9 and, I guess, 14 years, we are going to see some of the largest automakers in the world having made a full transition away from conventional internal combustion engine. And with that, it's going to go hand in hand with this further push towards an AV future, if only to avoid the horrific tragedies like what happened today in Southern California, and indeed to avoid the usual 3,000 lost American lives per year on American roads alone, never mind the several million injured and killed worldwide, but also because of the tremendously lucrative market that the AV industry will indeed open up. So this is super exciting. So I'll be happy to come back. If anybody is at GM or well acquainted with folks at GM and would like to jump on an episode with me, we can have a further chat about what's really going on with that donut-shaped test track of yours. I would love to have you on the show and we can have a great conversation about it. All right, so I've been rightly criticized in the past for not covering nearly enough about what's going on in China in both the AV and the EV segments. And this hasn't been through any intentional avoidance on my part. But in any event, let's talk a bit then about Baidu and their Apollo AV program, right? So what's neat about Apollo is it's kind of trying to be the Linux, the open source platform, if you will, of AV technologies, right? And so they've got a whopping 210 global partners, including folks around the world, everywhere from China to Germany, the likes of BMW, for instance, here in the US, Ford, Toyota's also a partner. And until now, everything's been kind of tested and run by Baidu itself. They have a new mobility as a service program, however, in Guangzhou, which is sort of pulling together 5 different types of vehicle platforms spanning 40 specific individual vehicles. So you'll excuse me for butchering some of the names on these, but the vehicles in question include the FAW Hongqi Robotaxis, the Apollong Shuttles, the Kinglong Robobuses, the ApolloCop Public Safety Robots, and new species vehicles. This, of course, is the term that Apollo are using for any sort of a self-driving vehicle that can do all sorts of different functions. So, for example, think vending machine on wheels. So this is pretty neat, and it gets even more interesting with the news today that, well, California, the DMV of California has just given Baidu their permit to begin testing driverless vehicles, specifically in Sunnyvale down in Silicon Valley. So the permit was issued just a few days ago. And as a recap, how this is working here in California, there are currently just five other companies besides Baidu that currently have driverless vehicle testing permits. They include Autocross Technologies, Cruise, Nuro for their delivery droids, and of course Waymo and Zoox, recently acquired, of course, by Amazon. So Baidu then joins this very small list of companies that are able to test their vehicles autonomously. Now, obviously, there are a few restrictions, right? So the vehicles cannot operate on roads with speed limits posted in excess of 45 miles per hour. Furthermore, they can test these vehicles at any time of day or night they like, but they cannot operate them in heavy fog or rain. For those of you kind of thinking that might be a bit of a problem, if you equate Silicon Valley to San Francisco, which at least up until about 10 years ago tend to be very, very foggy all of the time, less so these days due to climate change, sadly, Silicon Valley actually never really gets that foggy. So, and it certainly doesn't get very much rain, so really that's not going to be much of an issue down there. Silicon Valley is quite different in terms of climate to San Francisco proper. It's worth kind of mentioning, actually, some of what goes into getting a driverless testing permit. So first of all, they've got to have insurance of about $5 million. They've got to make sure that these vehicles can, in fact, operate without a driver safely. And furthermore, they need to have backup in the form of a teleops safety driver. So this is pretty great. This just goes kind of in the direction of California continuing to push forward with AV vehicle testing. We've had Waymo vehicles on the road for quite some time now. So to see that Baidu is getting on our roads too is just fantastic news indeed. Obviously, I will have more for you when I get more on Baidu generally. Until then, that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful rest of the week. I'll see you back here on Friday. Take care. Bye-bye.